In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear faithful, Paschaltide, which we've now begun, is the richest, most beautiful of all the Catholic Church's liturgical seasons. And the soul who, with mind and heart, fully enters into this season has reached the very center of the supernatural life. The grace of our Lord's resurrection from the dead. This is the teaching of Dom Guéranger. In the liturgical year, this work of God, our Lord's resurrection, is that by which the gates of heaven were finally thrown open to those who die, all those who had died, or ever will die, in a state of friendship with God, state of sanctifying grace. And the Church makes use of every means to effect this. Of all the liturgical seasons preceding Paschaltide, these must all be understood as a preparation for this blessed season that we now find ourselves in. The holy longing of Advent, the joys of Christmas, the severity of Septuagesima, and the penance and contrition of Lent, and the heart-breaking pain of Passiontide. All of these were meant to prepare our hearts for the paschal joy which hopefully we are now the possessors of. And what is it that the season of Paschaltide signifies par excellence? The eternity of heaven. This season is filled with the anticipation and the desire of that moment when, seen in the Apocalypse of St. John, the angel will cry out, "Time is no more." Before the redemption, the human race was dead in sin. But by rising to life again, the Son of God, by his rising to life again, we have been made capable of taking possession of eternal life. And the Apostle St. Paul goes so far as to call Christ the firstborn from the dead. The Church, therefore, urges us now to consider ourselves as risen with Christ, as having already taken possession of eternal life. The next 50 days are the perfect image of the heavenly bliss for which we long, and let us be careful to remember, is assured only to the soul who perseveres in God's grace until the moment of death. Every sort of sadness or melancholy is forbidden during this most joyous, most holy season. That most beautiful of divinely inspired words, Alleluia, finds itself repeated all throughout the various texts of the sacred liturgy during these days. That word, Alleluia, was buried during Lent. Now that we are resolved to die no more the death of the soul occasioned by mortal sin, however, we have a right to our Alleluia. The good Lord has even left the imprint of the resurrection of his only begotten Son on the natural world. The meadows turn from their barrenness to being filled with greenery and flowers. Trees resume their foliage. The sun pours forth its gloriously bright rays. So it is spiritual joy which is the character of this season. This joy being a foretaste of the joy of eternal union with God. With what care should the Christian heart foster it during this time? And one means will perhaps prove more advantageous than many others, shunning sin from our lives, especially the more grievous sins of our past lives. Remember that St. Paul tells us that our old man, that is, our past sins, has been crucified with Christ. So Paschaltide must be for us, above all, the season of the new beginning, of the life of grace in our souls. Now, during the 9 weeks preceding Easter, what were we doing? We were mourning for our sins and doing penance for them. We followed our Lord all the way up to the hill of Calvary. And now Holy Mother Church would have us rejoice. If during all of Lent we mortified our bodies and souls by fasting and abstinence, we now find ourselves in a season in which not one single fast is prescribed. St. Bernard of Clairvaux reminds us that there was a happier time in the history of the Church, an era when fasting and abstinence, penance in a word, was taken up with a much greater ardor and vigilance by the whole Church militant. All, without exception, applied themselves to Lenten sacrifices. Well, sadly, those days are now long behind us. And the culprit for this phenomenon can be found in a regrettable love of ease and aversion to effort, which has led many Catholics to treat Lent with indifference. For such souls, Easter arrives as a feast, even a great feast, but no more. These souls experience very little of that thrilling joy which fills the heart of Holy Mother Church during all of Paschaltide. And how could such souls keep up the spirit of Paschal joy during these 50 days? They have failed to observe the fasting and abstinence of Lent. Penance has not done the work of purification in their souls. It prepared their hearts for the joy of the resurrection, the life which is totally given over to the pursuit of the joy of the world to come. But enough of this rather dreary and mournful note for this sermon of Low Sunday in Paschaltide. Rather than weep over the fact that we may be among this number that I have just described, the church, let us remember, bids us now to an uninterrupted joy in our Lord's victory, a victory in which we are made partakers by our faith. To quote the words of the Divine Master himself, "Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" Even though he will leave us at the end of these 50 days and ascend to the right hand of the Father, has he not told us that he will not leave us orphans, but send the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit? Should the knowledge that Christ will leave us to ascend into a heaven fill us with sadness? Dom Guéranger tells us that no, indeed, Christians must ever be looking forward to the next Easter of the coming year, and then the Easter after that, and then after that, and so on, until the end of their earthly lives. For Easter is this new beginning in the life of grace, which so wonderfully prefigures eternal life. With he who said, "Behold, I make all things new." The collect of the Mass of Tuesday in the Easter octave expresses this perfectly. "Grant to thy servants, O Lord, that they may keep up by their manner of living the mystery they have received in believing." So the mystery of Easter is to be therefore ever visible on this earth. The risen Christ ascends into heaven, but he leaves upon the earth the imprint of his resurrection. And it is up to us to always remember this and recognize it until he comes again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.